I'm Chris from Nerd Alert News, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to the Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm Shark Taco.
And this week, we are talking about the 1997 classic, The Game.
From David Fincher.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas
with his
is
hair.
Awesome in that movie.
Who's the younger brother?
His brother is Sean Penn.
Thank you. I'm staring at the screen going, I know this asshole.
Yeah, I was like, I like that actor. And he looks at me, he's like, Sean Penn? I'm like, yeah. That guy.
Yeah, Sean Penn is good in everything he's touching, but
especially when he has to play like a coked out crazy guy.
Yeah, or have you seen Milk? He was pretty good in that too.
Right. Yeah. Oh my god, I love that guy.
Didn't he win an Oscar for playing a quote unquote retarded guy at some point?
Michael
I don't
Douglas?
Know.
I am Sam.
Did he go full retard?
Yeah, you never go full
retard. Oh my god.
You never go forward. I think it was called I Am Sam. It was touching as hell.
Really?
Yeah. I just watched that movie for the first time this weekend.
Really?
First, like, hour of it.
It's good.
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Oh, man, so good.
And I just watched The Game for the first time.
So good.
So, my question, since you watched it for the first time, did you saw the twist coming?
Did you see the twist coming?
The four of them? I had a few of them. In the game, you mean?
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll go through the notes, but, I mean, yeah, I got a handful of them.
So you knew all along that was the plan?
No.
Yeah, that's what, like, really blew my mind when I watched it first in the 90s, and it was just like, you're like, you think he's so stupid for not understanding that it's a con, and
right.
Then when you realize that it's not in fact a con,
that's
like,
what I mean. Whoa. Like, because I'm like, dude, you're not calling your people at the banks. You're spitting out your passwords in front of this chick in a secluded cabin.
Right.
Like, you gave them everything. And so, like, I had a bunch of the cons. Like, I was calling a bunch of shit just because I know movies and I know people. And this was early, though. This was 97. So it was before everybody was waiting for and looking for the con.
Yeah, it's like a pre-Inception kind of thing.
I wouldn't say Inception. But, yeah, I mean, it's deep like that because it's got a lot of layers. But
no, but I mean, it's trying to, like, get into the mind of someone, like,
oh, that
how to
deeply
deconstruct completely someone's psyche and, like, you know, go implant something in there.
Man, am I glad you jumped, otherwise I would have had to throw you off that roof. Like, what the fuck? That's one of the last lines of the movie. That's so great.
It's pretty good, because then you're like, it kind of negates the fact that, like, of course you can see it all, like, it's orchestrated and it wouldn't happen that way. There's, like, there's no way, there's not enough money in the world.
There's too many variables for each person, right? It doesn't, no.
It doesn't work. Like, when you think about it, like, there's no way, oh, really? Like, the window handle, when he gets thrown off in the car, he gets thrown off.
That he would have it in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly, that he would have it there, and that he would have the presence of mind, that he wouldn't get whiplash, that he wouldn't get this or that, you know? Of course, like, it works because it's a movie. That's the only reason.
Like, said, there was supposedly a diver in the water,
yeah,
blah, blah,
but
blah. But, like, this would have worked maybe half the time if, hold on, hear me out. Stop it, don't hurt me. This would have worked maybe half the time at best if it was set in a small town like the one in, what's the Jim Carrey movie? Where everything
Truman
is rigged.
Truman Show.
Thank you. If everything is rigged, something this elaborate would have maybe worked half the time. But you're talking multi-country. You're talking
half second before he gets out of this window that the taxi cab grabs him. I mean, he just hails the first one in the street, and it happens to be him without any hesitation. It's always like that.
Well, the guy
that
could have been lurking. Like, little stuff like that, yeah. But otherwise, like, what if another cab would have come around the corner first, or... You know, would they have run him off or picked him up again later? All sorts of shit like that. But I don't know. I just, it's snarky. I like it because, you know, I remembered it being a mindfuck movie. Not because I'd seen it, but I'd seen the trailers. I'd heard people talking about it, but I had never watched it. You know, to check it out is, oh yeah, CRS, it's like Total Recall.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
My first line about it. Like, CRS is like Total Recall. And then you see CRS everywhere. Cable repair services, blah, 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 blah.
But
I feel guilty when I masturbate. Answer yes or no.
Just the fact that he's like, how long is this test going to take? He's like, oh, just one hour, you know, medical turn your head cough. And it's like, it takes the whole day. And you can't believe in some way that they got this guy to stay there in this office all day.
Supposed high power broker or whatever. Right.
And, like, you get him on a machine with electrodes in his, like, underwear. I mean, come on.
When he corrects him on the word usage, and he's like, oh, that's right, you're a left brain word fetishist.
Yeah, that was so good.
But I like his sales pitch, though. It's like, just take the stupid test, do everything, and if you don't like it, just cancel it.
Yep.
Oh, and the fact that they turned him down,
yeah,
quote, unquote, that made it that much worse, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's
like they were trying to tick him off.
Yeah, because it turns him down, and right after he finds the puppet.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah. Oh, laying in the fucking road, or in the turnaround in front of his house, the driveway, like...
In the pose of his dad.
Like his dad, yeah, in a nightgown, robe, or whatever, and shit.
Yeah, but this movie is brilliant, not just in its storytelling, but in this visual. You start the movie
Have you seen the movie FX?
Yes.
That's what the clown reminded me of.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
That was fun.
So I wasn't alone.
Haven't.
Yeah. FX is a guy that helps the police by doing special effects. So it's kind of the point.
Oh, cool.
But
it's pretty fun. The first one's fun. The second one's a little lame. Actually, they're both probably lame now, but we should add those to the list someday. But anyways, go on. The flashbacks of
when you start
as a kid.
Yeah, you have him as a kid. There's a lot of people around him, and then you get through a door. He splash water in his face, and you see him old right away.
Yep. But it's still a little confusing since, like, you know, he is the same actor that played the dad.
Yeah.
Since it's also Michael Douglas. But they did it well in the sense that, like you said, they just, like, superimposed basically the boy's face with his.
It worked.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then you can see the pictures of his family on his table. So that's how they just, you know, it's seamless. It's Fincher.
Yeah, and they build the character so much because you see him with all these people, then you see the death of the father, and you see him in his routine, but alone.
Yeah, with his birthday was a fucking beautiful cheeseburger, chocolate chip cupcake, or chocolate cupcake washed down with some nice champagne.
So good.
And he hates everyone. He doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Nope.
We'll be jumping there, but the study. When CRS kept taking over the study, the news feed.
Yes. Oh,
fucking
so
weird
good.
Creepy from back in the day. Okay, so we'll get back to that in a minute. But he goes to that club, right? And all of a sudden there just happens to be two new guys over in the corner at this high price club. And they just happen to loudly be talking about CRS.
I know. Of course they're a part of it.
But I love that.
It's all about seducing him.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Love that
it totally
because
is.
People he knows. And they went through that experience, and he's trying to get information.
But he didn't know them.
Yeah. Yeah, he
No,
does.
He didn't.
No, he doesn't.
No, he did not.
They say that, like, new,
oh, he
new
goes,
customers.
He says, yeah, oh, new members, because it's like not a gentleman's club, but like an old-school throwback, ship brandy, smoke cigars, talk business, and that's...
High roller, exclusive.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Oh, new members. So they had to pay a fee to get in there, and he happens to hear one of them say something about CRS, and then he goes over, he schmoozes them for a while with business and bullshit, and then he brings up the CRS angle.
Yeah, that's true. No,
so,
you're right. But I like that they never tell him exactly. And one of them, yeah, maybe he's paid by CRS, but obviously he went through it. And he's talking about it like, oh, yeah, when I did it last year, I would give anything to do it again without knowing anything.
That's the same way I am when I fucking tell people about my favorite author. I'm like, oh, my God, I would give anything to read those books again for the first time.
Right. But one thing I really liked was at the very beginning, like when his brother calls and leaves a message for them to have lunch together, and he leaves it as Seymour Butts.
Right.
And his secretary's like, I wouldn't even mention this but this person was very insistent. It's obviously a prank, and that's where she calls it first. Like the whole movie's gonna be a prank. Like the whole everything that comes from that moment on is just a prank.
You've already dated
it was
Wayne
so good.
Too long. The baby rattle. How he thinks the baby rattle's a key. How he thinks everything's a key. He's looking for a key because he's starting to buy into the game. The CRS pen is the one that leaks in his pocket at the right time.
Yep.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah, it's also, you can see that's the first scene that he has that you can see the effect that the game starts having on him because he's looking all over the place. He's looking around. He's staring
he's
at
so
people.
Routine.
He's smiling and he's like noticing things.
For the
first
time
so
since when? Yeah.
Yeah, he's so routine and regimented. He does his shit. He doesn't pay attention to anyone who's not in his normal sphere. And now all of a sudden he's got to like pay attention and gets a whole fucking tray of drinks spilled on him and then
yeah.
gets a thing that says, don't let her get away.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, is it I've seen this movie too many times, but you've seen it for the first time. Is it that obvious that she's working with them?
Oh, yeah.
No, not right away. And then when she deflects and says, I was paid $300, $400 to spill the fucking drinks on you.
Then you're
you
like, okay,
done.
She's off the hook because
right.
we
right.
know she
right.
was that
right.
part of the plan. But,
and then you get into the house and then it's like, he knows it's a setup. I'm jumping ahead here because I want to go back through all this because this is like stream of conscious notes. This is the first time for a long time. But you get to him like, pulling out the half books
yeah.
in the bookshelf. That was yeah. like the ultimate setup. And he asks her when the picture was from, and she's like, First Communion. And then she knows she's busted. But she kind of like spins him around and points up and says, you know,
careful.
Not here. We're being watched. So yeah. I'm thinking they got her family or, you know, something. It's still not
yeah.
a job to me yet for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's into it, but she's still the
she's
innocent,
in trouble.
Right, yeah, or whatever. For some reason.
And honestly, I think the only false note of the movie for me comes in the last 30 seconds when she invites him to go get the coffee at the airport.
Yeah.
Because for her, it's a job. It should be clear that it's a job and that he has no meaning for her because he's the 30th guy that she does that with or
yeah.
something like that. That's the only thing I will say that the movie...
Yeah, but she did like him, though. That's the point. Wink,
yeah,
wink.
She did. You know, and I think that's...
So you lose your modesty around attack dogs.
No, but I think that's, to me, the reason for that scene is that this is what it has opened him up to. And it's kind of cliche and tacky, but I mean, that's how the whole movie has been working. It's been like building on what is there, and it's been like it's
life.
Like it closes its eyes on whatever's not possible, right? So even though that's not possible, then that's what you want to show, that this character went through this whole story, and at the end, like, he doesn't even give his brother shit about it. He just thanks him, like, yeah, right.
Like,
I'd still give him shit, okay?
Right.
Like, you put me in a car and dove me off a cliff. Fuck
this
you.
Is 97. I'm rich. I'll split the bill with you, but I'm going to buy a taser and tase you every goddamn opportunity
exactly.
I get.
There's got to be some payback. But yeah, basically, I think the reason why he goes out with her is because now he's a changed man, right?
But I agree with everything you said. It works for his character, but
it's all about his character.
But for her, it's kind of weird to me. But I agree
oh,
that it helps the movie convey all these things.
And that's the reason why they put a woman there, because if it was a man that he was following around the whole time, then it would be obvious, because male characters will have like their competition for who's the leader kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because she's a woman,
mystic
she's
match.
A slider role, and it's easier for her to manipulate him because he underestimates her in a way.
Should yeah. I look that up on Google? Slider role? Is that like something
no.
I need to know? Okay.
She's a translator.
No, I mean, like, it's slight, you know? She's,
no,
she's not imposing.
I know.
Silly.
She's being an ass.
Yeah.
All the sets set up, though, were just weird, you know? Well, later he busts into the room and you see everybody. The PI that he shoots out the tires of drops the fucking tray. The hotel he doesn't remember being at. He busts in on the lunch with all those pictures that he doesn't remember anything of.
Oh, yeah, when he gives them to it, like, in front of the family, just, like, throwing pictures of naked women in front of them.
Right.
Yeah, oh, God, I love that scene.
The black light paint everywhere in my beautiful-ass 150-year-old mansion.
Yep.
And he just laughs it off at the end.
Yeah. Good one, brother.
Funny. Hey, Conrad, you play a terrified guy pretty goddamn good. Remember when you showed up like 12 hours ago? Actually, probably like 2 weeks ago, because remember they drugged me and took me to Mexico that was? Come on. Like, he wouldn't have just given up on life at that point in time, and what if he would have? Right?
He was probably
if he
would have
given up on life, right, he all of a sudden just starts doing Mexican fucking heroin and never comes back, and he's like, well, sorry, big bro, you failed the present.
Oh, no, man. there was probably, like, some Mexican person that was paid there to keep tabs on him, of course.
Something.
In the bus and everything.
Yeah. But still, I think it's fun that you've seen it for the first time, because now that I've seen that movie a bunch, when I rewatch it, all I'm looking at are the clues.
Yep.
What did I miss the first time? Okay, they're in construction when he walks at CIS. Of course they're in construction. They're never going to stay there.
Yeah, it's a front. I get it, but... And you could even tell something was off right away, but everyone's like, oh, did you hear they opened London offices? You know, or whatever. You've been to London one? Would you hear they opened a San Francisco or whatever? LA? I don't fucking know. But
Chicago?
It's San Francisco.
Because you see, I was wondering, because you see Conrad, like, walk down a bunch of stairs, and it looked kind of like that two-level city.
No, but it's San Francisco, they name it. That's why the road are all in hills. Because San Francisco is basically just ups and down.
They have an Escape the Room that just opened here, too, in Milwaukee. So when you guys get here, we will be going.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Another thing about the ending, when they're at their party, there's some of his colleague that have mostly the same kind of job that he has. And they're like, we have no idea what it is about, but you made a hell of an entrance. And, you know, if you wanted to, I'm not saying do it, but if you wanted to do a sequel to something like that, you could go with one of these other guys.
What do you mean?
Well, clearly it's like Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. So some people that are at the party at the end don't know that everything that went down.
True.
It's basically they saw him enter and it's a hell of an entrance and that's it. So he could be like passing it forward and giving that gift to someone.
Yeah,
someone.
Great. You don't do that. Yeah, oh, fuck, man. That's a gamble. Either they're going to live and hate you or love you, or they're going to die somewhere along the line or, you know, come back really fucked up. So.
And that's how you create supervillains.
Right?
Right? Exactly like that.
But you see, let's face it again, doing a sequel like that, that's the story you want to tell. You don't want to retell the same story. You tell the story that goes wrong. The guy that misses everything and them, like, since you already know...
Yeah, you know then you would do it from the perspective of the company.
Exactly. And that would be great.
Oh,
that would
my
be a little
God.
Bit...
If you did it a bit like the cabin thing.
That's where I was going. Yeah.
What is that?
Cabin in the Woods?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
With the monsters?
Yes. That would be like fucking amazing. Yeah.
There you go.
Because you would just have everybody behind the scenes setting it up, and then shit starts going wrong. The guy's an ex-Navy SEAL and has buried guns in his yard and shit or something that they didn't find.
That's a good twist at the end, because when he finds the gun in the book, you believe her when she has the walkie-talkie. It's like, we miss a gun. There's a real gun.
Yep.
And it's cool because it's a way to do the reveal that's not so lame, because it's a reveal and she has to tell him everything in the space of like 30 seconds in this highly tense situation. Yeah. I don't know. It's just brilliant. It's so well made.
Yeah, I agree.
Hold on. And what they didn't get, she just got the password. She says the lawyer's in on it. No, she's in on it. She has all the passwords, all the info she needs. Called it. Like, a line later, I'm just like, called it.
She told you she was in on it. You know she's in on it. Stop panicking.
Yeah, but that's when he's like they're in the cabin and he's like, Zurich, is this you? Yes. Alpha, Bravo, Zebra, Lima, titties, ass, 1, 3, 4. Oh, all my money's there? Okay. All sorts of, it's like, dude, I'm writing this down as he's calling out, as the montage is going on. I'm like, dude, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. And then right when he's done, he's like, and she's just like, dunk.
But it's
like, you fucker.
I like what they do there because they drug him at that point. Mm-hmm. And the next time he goes to his ex-wife, I guess, or ex-girlfriend that's not pregnant with a kid, mm-hmm. with someone else. Anyway, and he's like, I want a water bottle that's I've not been opened.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's a nasty.
Well, I don't want an ice cream glass. I just want a clean, empty glass.
A man with a watch like that necessarily doesn't have a passport problem.
Yeah, but that's a big thing because...
Yeah, and he sells that? Wow.
Yeah.
He sells... He's basically letting go of his father, which is the thing that I've been pulling away. The thing that made him Batman, if you want, at that point.
I guess
like,
so.
Fucker in his mansion, doesn't talk
to
anybody.
It anchored him to a past event that was horrible for him to even think about, let alone wear on his wrist every fucking day.
Yeah. I love that moment. That was the
1878 for a ride to San Francisco.
Yep.
When he walks into that diner, he had $18.78 for the ride to San Francisco. Dude, that's fucking awesome.
Anyone?
His fucking shoes are worn through.
Nobody.
No.
Yeah, right. And then you see them all snuggled up and snoring in the front of an 18-wheeler.
All I could think of was the rule. The rule of like Jay
Jen
basically
Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh my God.
I was like, did he have to give him head?
You have to give them something.
Just a hand job. But yeah, he goes to see the ex-wife too. That was good. And then he calls and he's like the secretary would say, he took him to see the zoo with the white tiger. Or he took him to see the kids with the white tiger, the zoo with the white tiger. Maybe they would. That's plausible. That's more plausible than saying he went to the San Francisco Zoo.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But I don't remember that part.
I remember it, but what about it?
Just how he called, whoever called the house of the actor.
Yeah,
right?
He did. He did from the
phone
booth.
His wife or the maid answered or whatever and said...
I remember that line because he basically says, like... If he
what
was
zoo?
Acting that well, he would have said it better because he was like, oh, how sweet, which one? But like normally,
right,
if you want to get that information, you try to be less creepy and you're like, and oh, really? Which one? You know?
The actress was like the one with the white tiger, mm-hmm. which is more plausible, I guess, than saying, you know, because you're going to say to the kids, you want to go see the white tiger? As opposed to saying, we're going to go to the San Francisco Mall Zoo today.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But you see how these actors would have to put everything aside because he has his kids on the line with the crazy dude that
the kids are probably actors.
Think they're his kids?
Yeah, they're probably actors as well. You're right.
And if they are his kids, they're getting paid. I mean, I don't know. And then when they get back to CRS, that lunchroom scene was, first time watching it through, was like, holy shit, he's even in on it. He's even in on it.
You have every single actor and extras in that room. Everyone. Mm-hmm. They kept tab on everybody to get them for that scene.
Yep.
And with the same costume that you've seen them, kind of same makeup, not necessarily costume, but mostly even costume. I think I remember seeing like construction guy and the oboe and all that shit. The oboe near the phone.
The actual oboe.
Yes. Yeah, the oboe's been paid. And he's like, yeah, warm meal. Great. I'll show up. His brother, though, had a big part, so he had to believe in what he was doing because he's so good. When you go back to see him and they get in the car and there's the millions of keys.
He was fucking
terrible.
That's so
ridiculous. I was like, dude, you know these people fuck with you. You know these keys are there because they put them there. Like, it didn't make sense.
That part didn't make sense to me either. I'm like, you understand how bad they're fucking with you and you just got your brother into this world. If you find keys in his glove box, why would you not automatically think that they're part of his game and he now has to unlock a lock or a couple locks with all of them? You wouldn't instantly think, oh, my brother does it all.
But you're right. But the fact that you know that he's acting at that point, You're right.
But
true.
I didn't. I
no,
didn't know he was
gives
acting.
It off.
Yeah.
But still, the first time I thought he might just be losing his shit that bad, because right now we saw his brother losing his shit after the first time. And he told him, Conrad already said, I paid him. I paid him more to stop. They won't stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
but
at that point in time, he might be cuckoo.
Yeah, that's
cuckoo.
There you go. But
that's crazy.
As Shark Tackle said, it gives it up a little bit, but it's okay that the movie gives us a couple of clues.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, it's because it is a mind fuck before there really were mind fucks. This is before The Matrix.
2 years before.
This is a handful of years before all these other mind fucks. There were other movies that twisted your brain a bit, and this isn't like earth shattering, but it aired a few times. You're like, what the fuck? Did seriously all the lights just go out and everybody at this goddamn hospital disappear?
Disappeared.
Did everybody just throw a smoke bomb on the ground and go, ninja vanish?
it's almost like this, huh?
And it's like the whole scene, because you're like, he's getting conned, he's in the taxi cab, he's in the, you know, he's gonna go get killed, and how come he doesn't understand? And then the handle.
Yeah.
And they're like, really? They mailed him the handle to get out of this situation? And you're like, what?
What if you wouldn't have found it? When did they, I want the scene that goes back and shows you the swapping of his briefcase, the mailing of the handle, because they didn't mail the fucking handle. They had to have someone put it in his house or put it in his mailbox.
Yeah.
Know that he was on his way home. If he wasn't going home that night, put it in his mailbox at his office. You know what I'm saying? There were certain times, like you're saying, see the movie from the CRS point of view, where they're going, Oh shit. And they're driving with two handles and there's two different crews going, is he going home tonight or is he going to the office? We got to make sure he gets this, because once he freaks out wherever he gets where he's going, he's going to probably hail a fucking cab. And that's when douchebag McGee and other cocksmoker Majab are all going to be sitting in their cabs waiting to go. Because there's got to be three or four people for every job, because people are panicky. What's the line from whatever? People are panicky, whatever creatures. Men in Black.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Don't know what a person.
But they know
that's
everything about him because they spent a whole day with him in an office.
I don't care what kind of brain scans you give anybody nowadays. You can't know that much about them.
Yeah, I know, but
not
that's what
every
I mean.
Decision.
It works as a film. Like you really have to suspend the disbelief for this one, and you have to like just accept the logic of the fiction.
But I'd like to see if they did it more real. You would only need a couple few people. It would be fun to play the different, I don't know, cab drivers, the three dudes sitting in the cab, the three guys with the cranks to mail them or whatever, you know.
But again, what we're doing right now is our refrigerator moment, because the first time you see this movie,
you don't question it. You're just trying to catch up with it.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah, you're going to see rooftop, not an automatic. Shoots Conrad. Jumps. Airbag? ? Thank God you jumped, or I was supposed to throw you.
Yeah, well, you jumped right at the right spot, like in the middle of the X.
That was a big big Hollywood airbag, and it was under the slightly bigger glass roof. So either way, there wasn't a good chance that a random person jumping was going to hit that. Most likely, he would have jumped off that building and hit the fucking side.
I would have believed it a little bit more if there was some like one or two steps to go on the ledge.
Yeah, but he just went so far to get
exactly
there. Oh, you
mean like swan dive, just kind of like fell? You're saying if he would have like jumped and off or what?
Well, if it wasn't like, you know, 30 feet between where he started walking to where he actually jumped from. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, and if there was a couple of steps to go on the ledge, so he has to go through these steps, so it would be like in that X range.
Yeah, so we see that like there, they made it easy for you to climb up there.
Yeah.
And there's no other spot that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or if the railway would have been like broken, or like you know, in The Force Awakens, when there's railway, oh, there's not anymore. Character's gonna die in a hole.
In theory, let's say he was shooting for the middle of the glass, because if you're gonna jump off, God only knows what you're thinking, because you know apparently they know his psyche that well. But if you're gonna jump off, let's say you're gonna aim for the glass area, right? It's pretty. It's filled with light. Let's jump towards the light, right? You're going to need to jump out because there was like 10 or 15 feet of metal and then like a 60 square foot or 20 square meter glass thing. So he just stood there and kind of was like, and swanned over, you know, like kind of fell off as opposed to like jumping
through
out.
Threw himself, further
right,
along.
Exactly. So what if there's all of his fucking closest friends and relatives and he doesn't jump far enough and he smashes half in the glass and half out and then tumbles into the airbag all blood and guts?
No, it definitely doesn't hold up to the test, but I don't think it's really trying to.
No, I don't think it is.
No, it's awesome. It's a good flick. We should rate this because now I'm nitpicking it and I shouldn't be. I'm just having fun with it.
Honestly, you seem to have more fun with it now than you had when we started talking about it. So that's good.
I had lots of fun. I just needed to get back into the notes. Like I said, I watched 4 movies this weekend. It's movies, man.
Yeah, okay. So for the game, are you going Legendary, Legends of Its Time, Cult Legend, Awesome, Entertaining, Mabel, Forgettable, Abysmal, or Spring Breakers Islander? I'm going to start with Beef since it's your first experience and I don't want you to be tainted.
Spring Breakers Highlander.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Spring Breakers Highlander. This was... The only reason I kind of like it is talking to you guys. No. All right, hang on.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. It's got to be somewhere up the top, like very top. I want to say Legend of Its Time, Cult Legend, Legendary. Legend of Its Time only because... The TVs are so goddamn big and square in this movie. Cult Legend because a lot of people have heard about it, but not a lot of people remember it as being the left curveball that it is, or whatever ball that it is. And I'm personally just going to say Legendary because I had a lot of fucking fun. I could see a lot of it coming, but that makes sense because it was a setup and I get it all, but the end with the gun. Like, I'm yelling at him half the time with when he's telling her the passwords and everything. And then the thing with the gun at the end, I didn't see that. That threw me again. I'm like, you just shot your brother. and then the airbag, that really scared me. Or it didn't scare me, but I was like, seriously, there's a question mark right here on my shits. So, yes, Legendary.
I'm personally going to go... I think I'm going to go Cult Legend. I'm really tempted to go Legendary. But unfortunately, even in Fincher's filmography, this is one of the three movies that tend to be left out, which is, I would say, The Game, Panic Room, and Zodiac, which...
I like Panic Room. I've never seen Zodiac.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you didn't see The Game before, but everyone who's seen it loves it. And a little bit like in the movie, when you talk to people that haven't seen it, the people that have seen it are not telling you the twist. People are still respectful of the twist after 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's why I will put it at Cult Legend. If I go with like just my personal preference and all of this, I'm tempted to go Legendary, but it doesn't miss much, and I have lots of fun every time I watch that movie, but I think Cult Legend fits it well, so... Shark Taco?
Yeah, I'm going to sadly say Cult Legend. It's kind of the same as you for me. Like, I remember watching this when it came out. Like, it was in the days where, like, people were just, like, lending each other tapes, like, filled with films, you know? And I had that tape, and I watched it over and over and over again. I loved that movie. I loved, loved, loved it. And I don't think I ever realized whether it was very popular or not, or if a lot of people had seen it or not. But I think you're right, because when you talk about that movie, you're like, do you remember? Do you know this movie? It's not the kind of thing, like, you can't say it's like a Legend of Its Time, whereas, like, it's not like everyone saw it when it came out. I don't think so. Do we know any numbers? Do we have any?
It didn't do as well as they were expecting from Fincher at that point.
Yeah, definitely good, those. And it was just, I remembered it with so much fondness. I mean, I just wanted to see it again. I was so happy to see it again, and I thought it aged very well.
The marketing was there, though, because I remembered his face with, like, the puzzle pieces and, like, the, like, that. I totally remember that, and, like, the business card or the thing that they gave him with the puzzle piece. Like, I remember all that shit, and I've never seen the movie. I may have seen 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there when I was younger, but...
I mean, it's a longer run. It's a 2-hour movie. It doesn't feel like your regular theater thing.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's, well, you know, it's Fincher. Because it's him, it will go down in history for sure. I mean, it's not like Fincher has 50 movies in his filmography. I mean,
he's starting to have a lot.
Yeah, but half of them are classics. So, like, I'm pretty sure that movie will be remembered, if only for that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, last word, peeps.
I'm going to go with Key.
Red bra.
Ooh.
Wow. Revolver. This has been episode 290 of Legends Podcast, The Game. I'm Beef saying, I don't think he would have made the airbag, but whatever.
I'm John D saying, he's a good shot, though. Almost shot his brother straight in the middle. Oh, wait, that was a squib. Shit.
I'm Shark Taco saying, don't trust the blonde.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com, where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or GunnaGeek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.